Welcome, my name is Jordan. I'm one of the pastors here. We are going to focus today on Psalm 119. We have been focusing on that for a while. We're going to close it out today. Today we're going to finish the last stanza of Psalm 119. And then next week we're going to begin our study through the book of Revelation. And I hope you're excited about that. I am. I pray it's a great time walking through such an important book, and hope you're excited as I am. But today is Psalm 119, the last stanza, the stanza Ta, which begins at verse 169. And I would encourage you to open your Bible to that, dial it up on your phone. I would love everybody to have their eyes on this passage. Psalm 169, we see the psalmist pour out his heart in prayer to the Lord. So let's read that passage together. This is God's word, starting at verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me my statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commandments. And so in this final verse of this amazing pericope on God's word, we see the psalmist describe himself as a wandering sheep who's lost his way. And then he's confessing to God that God is his only hope. He's asking the Lord to come, seek him out, rescue him like a shepherd would a lost sheep. And then he makes this claim, for I have not forgotten your commandments. It's a return, even in this little last stanza, as well as throughout the whole psalm, it's a return to the main theme, which is that God's word is paramount in the psalm writer's life. In his description, he's not forgotten the commandments of his God, the testimonies of his God, the precepts of his God, the law of his God, the word of his God. He has not forgotten those. The main theme for our entire series on Psalm 119 was the Christian's path to true blessedness. And that blessedness is found in following and trusting God's word. It's another picture of the wise man from Psalm 1 who delights himself in the law of the Lord. And on that law he meditates day and night. And for us that means the full counsel of God's word, all 66 books, right? From Genesis to Revelation. Notice in the last phrase, we see the psalmist places hope, again, fully in God's word. And what he knows is true about God from his words. We see this again and again all throughout Psalm 119. What he knows is true about God and of himself as a follower and child of God. He returns to that over and over again. And where do we see that most specifically? Or specifically in his prayers. In his prayer. So much about what we believe about God is revealed in how we pray. And that's true in Psalm 119 as well. And that's what I want us all to see today. The psalmist has not forgotten God's commandments, God's word, and he prays. In his desperate situation, he prays. And those requests, in those claims, the psalmist tells us what he's not forgetting. And what you and I, brother and sister, should never forget as well. 4 points. They happen to all have an S word in it, but don't let that trip you up. Number one, he is your surety. He is your surety. Look again at verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you, he says at the beginning of verse 170. Psalmist cries out to God. Prayer to God is where he goes when he's unsure, when he's suffering, when he's fearful. His surety is in the Lord. We see this in other places in the psalm. Psalm 62, 1 and 2. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So the psalm writer's cry and plea reveals that he believes he can go directly to God in prayer. In his trouble, in his suffering, in his remorse, he comes to God and believes that God hears him in a personal way. The Lord isn't just king. He is the psalmist's personal king and personal Lord. Where do we see that perhaps most vividly in one of the most memorable songs? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Right? Before he is your surety, you need to be sure that he is your Lord. And you are his servant. Do you have a covenant relationship with God? The scripture tells us that we are rebels until we receive him. And upon receiving him as our Savior King, we now have the right to become children of God. And Christian, is that how you see yourself? A servant of God, a child of God. That's what the psalmist says of himself in the last verse of Psalm 119. Seek your servant. Do you know God in this personal way, friend? He loves you so much that he gave his one and only son so that you might be restored back to him through faith in his son. So that you might know the Lord. So that you might love him. And he offers you this most amazing surety, the most amazing surety of all time, backed by the surety of his promises and of his character. And our encouragement to you is repent and believe in Christ's work of salvation. He is making all things new. And he will make you a new creation. If you will come to him, and like we just sang in that song, you'll surrender to him. And when you do that, you'll no longer be like a child who is unrooted and insecure, carried about by every new wind of teaching. You will have the surest foundation. For there is one God, and he has spoken. And his spoken word is our foundation. And that's why the psalmist says in verse 69, give me understanding according to your word. Human beings, we're meaning makers. It's what we do. It's who we are. We're trying to sense what's going on around us and then how we could fix it. We look for meaning and purpose in every event, every situation, every relationship we're in. Right? We never stop trying to figure life out. We ask questions. We make assumptions. We draw conclusions. We make connections, we interpret data. It's what we do, it's who we are. Whether it's the horror of war or a diagnosis of a very bad illness, right? A friend's divorce or a really difficult parenting problem, right? If our neighbors aren't talking to us anymore, what's going on? The state of our country, we want to try to figure it out, right? We want to know what's going on around us. And the answers we give to those questions, friends, will inevitably lead us and move us in specific directions. How do we know that we're moving in the right way? Give me understanding according to your word. The word of the Lord endures forever. Because our God is sure, we can be sure that what he has told us is also sure. In his words, that is the right authority for our lives. The Bible belongs in every age, in every century, including the 21st. It is the sure, clear, sufficient word. And friend, it will not fail you. It will not fail you. He is your surety. And know that as you follow his word, he is ready to hear your cries and prayers to him. Never forget that. Secondly, also never forget that he is your savior. He's saying, God, I need your understanding according to your word, but I also need your intervention according to your word. Look at verse 170 again. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. And then skip down to verse 173. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. Again, we see this in other places in the Psalm. Psalm 27:1, right? The Lord is the light, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The writer longs for salvation. That's clear. The psalmist longs for rescue, for deliverance. Now, not long ago, we came out of a season of Advent. And so much of that is longing, looking for. Right? The song, we sing it at Christmas, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free." And with Jesus comes all that we truly long for. The love that our culture longs for, trying to find that perfect love. The justice that we long for. The community that we long for. All these longings ultimately find their fulfillment in Christ and the salvation that he has brought to our world. All the little stories that describe our longings only truly make sense in light of his big story of redemption. We long for salvation. All creation is groaning. We read about this in the Bible. We are groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. To know him is to groan and to long for all the salvation that is coming one day, the salvation that comes when death is finally defeated. So our world is a lot different from the world of the psalmist in Psalm 119, but we have so much in common, and one thing in particular is this, that we are longing for the salvation of our God. He is our Savior. And that is what we're going to be beginning to look at next week as we look at Revelation. Right? Sin was born, in a sense, started. Then it was defeated at the cross. And then one day it will have its own death as well. And he will wipe away every tear from their eye. And death shall be no more. He's our Savior from the penalty of sin, and he's saving us from the power of sin. And one day, the day we long for, he will save us all from the presence of sin. Psalm 118, verse 14 and 15 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous." Never forget that he is your surety and your savior, but also he is your song. He is your song. Look at verse 71 and 72, 171 and 172. "My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. How can we not sing to him? How can we not sing to him? This isn't just something that we do from tradition. This is something we must do. Even the greatest of prose could not satisfy a heart of gratefulness for all that we have in Christ. In Christ. Christian, do you know what that means? That you are in Christ? Just think of some famous last names, right? If your last name was Buffett, you're like, I'm not sure I know what that is. Warren Buffett. But what if your last name, if you're a Broncos fan, what if your last name was Bowling? Okay? Some of you still like, I don't know if I know what that means either. What if your last name was Bezos or Musk? Those two gentlemen happen to be exchanging the most richest person in the world for the last couple weeks. What if that was your last name? Think about the kind of affluence you would have. You have been united to Christ. What did you bring to that marriage? You brought no assets. You only brought liabilities. Imagine this. A little boy has been born in a very poor family. He grows up malnourished, poorly dressed, seldom clean, the object of scorn among his peers. He has little education and few prospects. He leaves home and gets a job as a caddy at a luxurious country club. And one day he meets a young woman from an extremely wealthy family. And much to his surprise, she asks him to be her caddy. This begins a long relationship that amazingly culminates in their marriage. And at the exact moment that he says, I do, his life changes forever. He's the recipient of a new status, wealth, power, and prestige, yet he has earned none of it. It's simply the result of his new relationship. His marriage just changes who he is, what he has, how he experiences life, and how he will live the rest of his life. Christian, that is what you have in Christ. Our identity isn't found in our job, but in our adoption as his child, right? Illness can rob us of our health, but it cannot take away our identity, meaning, purpose, hope, and joy in the Lord. No matter what my physical condition, right? We can be strengthened by his new mercies every day, daily encouraged by God's love and empowered by the Spirit every moment. And what does that all bring? That union with Christ, all the spiritual blessings that we have in him, what should that bring? Thankfulness. Gratitude. The Lord is my strength and my song. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, right? It is well with my soul. All the spiritual blessings in Christ are ours. Our theology should lead to our doxology. We express to him our gratitude and praise. How marvelous, how wonderful, right? Hallelujah, what a Savior. He's our surety, our Savior, our song, and he is also, Christian, he is your shepherd. The last verse again. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The psalmist has clearly not forgotten his shepherd, the Lord. And as he confesses, I have wandered away from you. Seek your servant. Restore unto me, right, the joy of my salvation. You restore me, Lord, the psalmist says. And I should be honest, friends. so many times I'm tempted to find my restoration in so many other things. I'm tempted to look to so many other things to clear my conscience. Maybe you're tempted in the same way. I want to excuse sin. I want to minimize sin. I want to hide it. I want to try and forget it. Puritan preacher Thomas Watson says, "There is no rowing to paradise except upon the stream of repenting tears." The psalmist has not forgotten. He will still seek to be faithful to his covenant and keep God's commands, but he cannot earn his way to God's favor. Repentance and faith is his way. "I am a wandering sheep," he confesses. "Seek me." And the shepherd knows what we need. As we feel our hearts so prone to wander, and as we do wander, we pray, "Lord, seek your servant." And when you feel the conviction that you have wandered from his good word, that conviction is his voice calling you back. If you hear that voice, if you have that conviction, be so thankful that he is calling you back to him. And know that as he calls you back, he longs to hear you call to him. He's not waiting with a begrudging heart. His posture is not a pointed finger. It's open arms. He's running to you to welcome you home. So much of life is focused on discovering perhaps who we are, what we're supposed to do, when truly the most profound thing we need to know and understand is whose we are. I think it's fitting that in many ways this psalm ends with the humble, repentant plea of the psalmist. It's essentially, "I am yours, Lord. I am yours. I'm your servant, and your commands are the desire of my heart." And I pray that's true for us, brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this psalm that we've had the pleasure and the privilege of working through. So many lessons for us, Lord God. And we close with another one. Lord, help us never forget that you are our surety in a world that swirls with so much opinion, so many interpretations. Lord, I want to come back to your word and say, "Give me understanding according to your word." Help us to dive deep into it, Lord. Father, you are our Savior. We long for your salvation, for all of sin to be gone. Yeah, Lord, we want to walk faithfully. Know that you are changing us. You are sanctifying us daily. Lord, you are our song. How can we not keep from singing your praise? You've given us so much in Christ that heaven can give us no more. And yet we have that hope of forever home with you as we walk this journey. We sing to you, Jesus, for all that we have in Christ. We have no assets we bring to our union. We have only liabilities. In fact, you took our curse. Thank you. You are our song. And Lord, you are our shepherd. You seek us. And you call us back to come to you again, to surrender again. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. May that be our posture and prayer of our church, that we would say, we are yours. Your commandments, your law, your word is the desire of our heart. And we have not forgotten it. When we sin, Lord God, we would rejoice that you're convicting, knowing that it's your Spirit calling us back. May we run back. Thank you for your love for us, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.